Hello, thank you for tuning in to Squabbles of the Soil, the podcast produced by students of MTSU's Agricultural Debate and Discussion course. Let's dig into some of the most controversial topics in ag today. None of these views reflect Middle Tennessee State University's beliefs as a whole.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Squabbles in the Soil. My name is Morgan Maynard, and I will be your host today. The topic we're discussing today is ag tourism, and specifically weddings in ag tourism. If you don't know anything about ag tourism, it is basically where somebody who owns an agricultural property and operates as a farm or a ranch brings people of the community to help educate them and have activities to bring them to the farm to make a second income. And activities can include educational, entertainment, and other things like that. Although Tennessee does not have a specific definition of what ag tourism is. I will have two guests speaking on this podcast today. First being Casey Troop, who is an employer of the Tennessee Department of Agriculture. And she went to MTSU and she is very passionate, and actually her family owns an ag tourism venue. The second guest I'll have is Tim Dyson, and he is a commercial real estate developer. Okay, now.
Okay, so I'm Casey Troop. I am a business consultant with the Tennessee Department of Agriculture, and I work specifically with our agritourism industries as well as former veterans and beginning farmers.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for joining. So our first question to get started is, can you just describe ag tourism in your own words?
Yeah, so agritourism can be described in many different ways. If you were to sum it up in just one sentence, I would say it's any activity that's bringing the public out to a farm. If you want to get a little more specific, there's a couple of things we look for when we're thinking of agritourism. Though there's no official definition of it in Tennessee, some things we look for are combining the elements of tourism and agriculture industries together, attracting members of the public to come visit agricultural businesses and onto farms. It is designed to help increase the farm income and provide some sort of education, recreation, and/or entertainment to people when they come visit that farm.
Okay, perfect. And then what is your experience with agritourism with your job or maybe outside of your job?
Yeah, so before getting this job, agritourism's kind of been part of my life, my entire life. My family grew tobacco for about 80 years. And then in the year 2000, I should say I grew up in Maryland, and that's where my family's farm is. We took the Maryland tobacco buyout, and we chose to transition from tobacco into agritourism. And I was 6 years old when my family made that decision. So pretty much my entire life, my family has been involved in having an agritourism operation. We started out with a corn maze and a pumpkin patch, and we grew year after year. And 22 years later, we still have that corn maze. We have a store. We have a little farm market. We also have a winery, apple orchard, raise a few of our own cattle. We do a whole lot of different things. But the majority of my life, my family has invited the public to our farm to learn about agriculture in a fun way. So that's kind of where I got started in agritourism. And then coming to college, I studied ag business, and I was heavily involved in MTSU's agritourism activities that they have there on campus. And then from there, after college, I got my position with the Department of Ag, where I'm our business consultant, helping people get started in agritourism or grow their agritourism operation and help that industry as a whole thrive in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's great. Just maybe what kind of impact specifically growing up in this, do you think, what is the main thing you think you learned and took away from growing up with an agritourism venue?
Two things, really. First, the one that comes to mind would be how important it is as far as ag education. There are so many people today, more people than not, that are removed from agriculture. They don't grow up on a farm. They don't have a true sense of what farmers do or where their food comes from. And agritourism is a great way for people to come and have a fun experience that is also connecting them to agriculture and helping them understand what it is that farmers do and how much passion they have for what they do and how much they love providing for people and providing the food that our country has. And it's just, it's a way to build our story and build that connection between people who aren't a part of it every single day. And then the second thing is I saw firsthand how it allowed my family to stay in agriculture. It's becoming harder to be profitable in agriculture. And in order for it to thrive, it needs to be profitable. And agritourism is a great way for farms to add a second sector of their business, if you would want to say that, to bring in some extra income to help them keep their farm and to keep the next generation on their farm and keeping their kids coming back to working on their farm as well.
Yeah, I think personally, I also think that's a great thing about agritourism. I know with the Farm Bureau discussion meets this year, they had a discussion question specifically about off the farm jobs and how that impacts agriculture. So I'm glad you brought that point up. But to transition, what are some of the problems or issues that you see people wanting to add agritourism to their farm and maybe include events like entertainment events such as weddings?
Yeah, so the first thing I always tell people when they say they want to get into agritourism is I ask them if they like people. Farmers are kind of used to just being on their farms and doing their own thing. And then when you get to bringing the public out to visit your farm, that adds a whole new layer to it. So that's the first thing people need to think about is the amount of public traffic that's going to be coming on to their farm that they have. And that brings a whole lot of different things. It brings, you know, not just with your family and your farm, if you're wanting people to come out to visit you, it involves the community. Are you in an area where they're going to want the extra traffic coming through on their roads, things like that? So there's a couple of different things that people need to think about. Liability is another thing that we like to always make sure people think about as well. Insurance, safety concerns, you know, working farms just have natural hazards sometimes. And we want people to make sure that they are aware of those and making their farm a safe environment for the public to come out to as well.
Okay. And so in your opinion, would you think that if somebody just heard of agritourism, like in a class at MTSU or something like that, do you think that they don't fully grasp everything that goes into it? And that's kind of what you do to help. You kind of help educate people about what everything that goes into it.
Yeah, I think with any business and new venture someone's trying to get into, there's a whole lot more to think about than what you initially think of. And that's one of the things I get to do in my job is to help people navigate all of those decisions and things that they need to consider to help their business thrive and be successful. So if that's things like figuring out the flow of traffic, figuring out where their parking lot's going to go, figuring out where, how many restrooms that they need or all kinds of different things, what activities they're going to offer, how are they going to be different than other businesses that are offering the same thing. There's so many factors that go into things that we help them think through those and give them resources and point them in the right direction and connect into the people that they need to get the answers to all of their questions and be as successful as they can.
Yeah, I think connecting people is also great. Would you say that marketing has a big role in like agritourism and your specific events you're wanting to do too?
I would say marketing is a big part of it. There are so many farms out there that are offering agritourism now, and marketing your story and what makes your farm different or your experience different and getting the consumer to know you as a farmer is a great way to help people want to come visit your business and your farm and feel like they're the place they want to visit that year. It's funny, one of the things my grandparents always say is that some people have a banker or some people have their own grocery store that they go to, or they have like these certain people in their life, these business people that they go to time and time again for their services. And we had a customer tell us one time that they have a farmer and that my grandparents are their farmer. And it's kind of creating that story and those connections. And you get to do that through your marketing to help encourage people to come visit your farm.
Yeah, that's great. That's so cool. Like, your grandparents are somebody's farmer. Okay. So last thing I want to touch on a little bit. I'm going to read this quote I got off of an article. It says that plans to host weddings would bring increase in unwelcome vehicle congestion and likely disturbances of peace and endangers the public health and welfare. So what does summary, what do you think of this statement of a farm now wanting to host weddings on their agriculture property, that they also conduct regular ag tourism events throughout the year open to the public, including visits from the 4-H groups, pumpkin carving sessions in October, wildflower picking, botanical art sessions, classes, and hay rides?
Yeah, so weddings, they can be the hot topic. So I think weddings can be a great way for farms to increase their income. That was one of the things I mentioned when we're thinking of what agritourism is. It's designed to increase farm income, and weddings are definitely a great way for farmers to do that. Farm weddings are very popular right now, and people are willing to pay for that farm experience. And I think if it's a way that a farm can share their story and bring in a little extra income to their farm, it's a great thing for them. Now, of course, there's things that we want to consider when we were thinking about weddings. And when it comes relative to farming, we do tend to see that we like to see weddings be secondary. A lot of times, anything entertainment related when it comes to agritourism, we like to see that be secondary to the farming operation. So the farm is still the main business for them. And then the weddings are a way to supplement their farm income. So it can definitely be a great way for farmers to bring in that extra income for their farm and have people come out and visit and be a part of things. But there's those, like you mentioned, some of those things there that they need to consider before opening a wedding venue, before just jumping right into it and being and talking with their community about this, engaging if they're going to be supportive or not of it, and being considerate of their neighbors and things like that, of noises and traffic and activities that might go on the farm.
Yeah, I think that was a great answer. I just want to clarify, when you say that the entertainment events would have to be secondary to the farming, you're talking about like the income, correct? So that the actual row crops or cattle or whatever that farm is doing has to be the main source of income, and the entertainment has to be second, right?
So actually so Tennessee doesn't have a definition of agritourism, but we do have a definition of agriculture. And the way it's written is that education and recreation can be in conjunction with production agriculture, but entertainment is secondary too. But it does not define what is secondary. It doesn't define if it's income or time or acreage. So that part is up to interpretation on how we're going to level what is secondary.
Perfect. Tennessee keeps it pretty vague.
Yeah. We do that to try to support the farmers as much as we can.
Yeah, no, I think that's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, and I will put this disclaimer out there. I am not a lawyer or anything related to the law, so that is not legal advice right there. That's just kind of a very general understanding of what that agriculture definition means.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, my name is Tim Dyson. I'm a real estate developer. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I spend a lot of time, you know, dealing with real estate and looking for, you know, new real estate, commercial real estate opportunities. And feel like I have a lot of opinions about, you know, not about ag tourism specifically, but understand that, you know, there are some definitely some challenges and pros and cons regarding ag tourism, and I'm here to kind of share my opinions on all of that.
Perfect. Thank you. So for the first question, can you just describe what you think or what you know ag tourism is in your own words?
Sure. I don't know. I don't know a lot about ag tourism. The term is relatively new to me. But I do understand that there's a lot of property owners out there that have farms and are looking for other ways to generate revenue from their property and their business. And so, you know, whether it's you know, having inviting people to the farm to kind of share, you know, the way that the farm operates and to understand, you know, where, you know, their food and other, you know, kind of food products, you know, come from and how, you know, animals are raised and vegetables and other food items are grown and raised and produced. Is something that, you know, allows farmers to have other sources of income. And obviously there's a lot of good that you know, comes as a result of that. And there's a lot of challenges that come with it as well. But, I know enough to at least have formed some of the opinions that I think we'll talk about, in this interview.
Perfect. So you pretty much hit on the gist what ag tourism is. It's for farmers to have that extra income and then to spread the word about agriculture and ag education. But I know, so you deal with commercial development and real estate. Has agriculture land affected you in any way, or have you run into any instances that this land is agricultural or this land isn't agriculture and it needs to be agriculture? Any experiences like that?
You know, I wouldn't, to some degree. I think that, you know, the real estate business and the markets that we work in kind of go through, you know, its natural, you know, I guess, evolution from the standpoint of as cities kind of grow and you know, you've heard the term, you know, cities start to kind of sprawl in terms of how development occurs and a lot of the rural areas become you know, more and more in demand in terms of turning over and developing into, you know, a lot of farms are being, you know, targeted for being purchased and kind of turned into you know, single family home developments, for instance. So a lot of it is driven by economics. If you own a farm, you know, in the surrounding, you know, rural areas of Nashville, for instance, it's, you know, if somebody was to come in and offer millions and billions of dollars, a lot more than you ever anticipated your farm was worth, you would likely sell it. So, you know, from that aspect, you know, we kind of deal with that, but it's more economic, an economic issue as far as the, you know, what I'm involved in, but that's really it.
Yeah, no, I think that is a big issue, especially with you said that they're coming in and offering these farmers millions for their land to put houses on it when that's more than that farm could really ever potentially make.
Right.
So I see the opportunity for farmers to offer ag tourism and in the fall open a pumpkin patch, host a wedding, maybe host events and like field trips for students to come in and learn, and that way they can get that extra revenue and income and still do what they love in farming. And I know you said that you agreed with that, that these farmers do need that extra income to stop this from happening, but that must put you in a hard place being a commercial real estate and development. Can you explain how that maybe puts you in a hard place, or if it does or if it does not?
Yeah, I don't think it does. I mean, I think the competitiveness with all of that is based on I think economics when looking at a specific farmer, for instance, he has the option of getting involved in ag tourism, finding other ways to create revenue with his business. You know, the fact that, you know, this farm may be in a path of progress from development, and if he receives an offer that is, you know, a lot more than we would have made otherwise, it's a very easy, I think it's more often than not a very easy decision for them to say we're going to sell, and end up making a lot more money than we have otherwise. So, you know, I don't think that ag tourism really affects, you know, the business that I'm in and what I focus on, but you know, there are certainly no shortage of you know, situations where, there's a lot of farmers out there that own land and have farms that are not in the path of progress, for instance, that are getting big offers on sites. They need to still try to figure out a way to generate additional revenue, which does maybe come into conflict a little bit with the fact that I know that I don't know a lot about, you know, the tax and insurance regulations for farms. I know that a lot of farmers out there, you know, get tax incentives for agricultural land. And if that agricultural land is able to start generating more revenue, creating other businesses, then, you know, maybe that's a problem because, you know, they're already getting incentives for the farm. But then if they're running other businesses, should those incentives go away? Is, you know, one of the big, you know, conflicts that come to mind when I think about the subject that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's a great point of view that I probably would have never thought of, but let's switch from just ag tourism in general and I want to ask you about ag tourism and weddings, that if you think they go hand in hand or if they should be separate, and a little bit about why you think that.
You know, I have a tendency to think they should go hand in hand. I do know that some ag tourism businesses obviously, you know, kind of affect the local neighbors and community in different ways. In other words, if you invite people out to just, you know, spend time on the farm and learn how the farm is operated and partake in, you know, feeding the cows and cubing hay is what I call it. that's one thing. You're out there, you're learning about, you know, how farms, you know, operate, and you're not really affecting, you know, any of your local neighbors as long as you don't have like huge crowds of people. But you know, having a wedding and having, you know, receptions and you know, events where you're bringing in a lot of people and you're playing loud music and it's maybe a late night, and obviously, you know, that has a different type of effect and impact on the community and on the surrounding neighbors. So I think that there's, you know, I would, right or wrong, I would say I would kind of loop, you know, lump it into the same type of category, but you know, it obviously has a different, you know, impact and effect on the community, certainly.
Yeah. So I know you said that loud in the neighbors, that is rarely an issue with these ag tourism venues that are starting to do weddings. Their neighbors are not happy about it. So you do commercial real estate, and I know that there's commercial zoning and everything, because these commercial has a lot of people coming, there's different rules and regulations for the land and the buildings and building inspections. So do you think it's fair that if you're doing an ag tourism venue and you want to build a barn for a wedding reception, do you think it's fair that they wouldn't have to follow the same building regulations and everything that like a commercial developer would?
Yeah, no, it always depends on what side of the fence you're on. As a, just a third party person, I would say that they would have to follow the same rules and regulations and code requirements for building standards and for egress and all of the, public safety requirements that you would need to have and follow for operating a business. It shouldn't be any different.
Okay, great. And then I have, for our last question, I have a quote I found on an article about one of these instances, and then I just want to get like your quick thought right after I've read it to you. So it says plans to host weddings would bring increased and unwelcome vehicle congestion and likely disturbances of the peace and endangers the public health and welfare. What do you think of this statement of a farm now anting to host weddings on their agriculture property, that they also conduct regular ag tourism events throughout the year open to the public, including visits from 4-H groups, pumpkin carving sessions in October, wildflower picking, botanical art sections, and classes and hay rides?
My first impression in response to that is it sounds great. I think that I don't live, do I live next door? Am I affected by that? Maybe I would have an issue with it. Is it every night? Is it once a week? It kind of depends on the frequency. And I would think that if you're running a business, you would try to have it as often as possible. And if it was every night, then it would certainly become a problem, and maybe even a nuisance for, again, you're talking about maybe not the community as whole, but your neighbors, your surrounding neighbors that kind of hear that and deal with the traffic maybe and the noise. But I don't really have a problem with it, as long as it's done, it's operated properly. If it was run in a way that was responsible, I think it would be fine.
Yeah. So, and then just quick follow up, when you said if it was run properly and responsible, can you give us the bullet points on what an act like that being run properly and responsible would mean to you?
Just using a wedding event as an example, there needs to be, if they build a venue, the venue needs to be code compliant. It does need to consider the public safety and welfare. So it needs to be done right, and it needs to be staffed properly, and it needs to be it needs to be managed properly. And I just see the problem with this business as a whole is you own a farm, and you're trying to run this business, and you have a tendency to kind of cut corners and not have maybe not have it staffed properly, and not have everything in place to ensure that you're taken the right precautions to make sure that everything is done in the right way.
Yeah. Okay.
In terms of just, you know, maybe a number of people and capacity and you know, emergency, you know, you're in a rural area. And do you have emergency services that are sufficient in the event that a fire occurs, or, you know, you have a concentrated number of people, yet you don't have a fire department that's within a reasonable location to get there in time to help, you know, put a fire out or save somebody in distress. A lot of these things need to be considered beforehand.
Perfect. You brought up some great points. Thank you very much. Is there anything you would like to say before we end this interview?
I can't think of anything.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your thoughts.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to my episode of Squabbles in the Soil. I hope you have learned a little bit about ag tourism and developed your own opinion on why weddings should or should not be included.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Squabbles of the Soil. Join us again to explore more controversial topics in agriculture. When you think your side is the only side, keep digging.